Today, I want to talk about a winning vision. A winning vision. This is our second message in the series, you know, called the Vision Series. Because God has told us this is a year to unfold, you know, the vision of the house. You know, it's a simple vision, as my math teacher would say, hey, it's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. But God wants us to keep it simple. The KISS principle. I'm not going to say the last S. You know, that would not be very nice. You know, or unless you want to call it silly or, you know, keep it simple, silly. That's the KISS principle, all right? But anyway, God has a vision for humanity, and that is to redeem for himself a family. That is the ultimate vision. That's why, you know, and you're going to see a hashtag in the days to come. I'm calling it hashtag his vision. His vision. It's not our vision. It's not all Eric's vision. It's not Shiloh's vision. It's God's vision. You know, we just got to get in line with his vision is. His strategy is to make himself known throughout the world. We saw that in Egypt. He wanted himself to be known. And cause for those already redeemed to then become the main conduit for redemption of others. Amen? You're redeemed, and now you help others to be redeemed. God is the ultimate visionary. God is the ultimate leader. Anything great that's been done in the history of the world was because there was a visionary person at the helm. And many of them, you know, it was because they had a vision from God. So he makes us as well visionaries. Think about this. In Revelation chapter 7, we're told that a great multitude from every tribe and nation and tongue will stand before the throne of God and will declare this universal truth. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That is not a theory. That is not like, we hope that's what's going to happen. This was a vision that the Father, actually Jesus himself, revealed to John. So say, watch this. I'm going to show you a little glimpse of the future because I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I know the end from the beginning, and I can see as far. In my vision, has you all guys already in this picture in heaven where people from every tribe and nation are going to be right there? It says gather around the throne. It says they will have palms in their hands, worshiping. Hallelujah. And declaring salvation belongs to our God. Hallelujah. So he gave him a vision of what things would look like. Don't you think that would bring hope to John when he saw that? It's like, wow, awesome. I'm going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven. A whole bunch of people. It says a number that no man could count. We're being told that the next 20 years is going to be more salvation than the past 2,000 years. That's the prophetic words that are coming. I'm telling you, they say CBS knows drama. I think that God knows drama. God likes to be dramatic. He likes to do things with a bang. Come on, and he's going to come back for his church. Hallelujah, powerfully. He's not going to whimper or sneak in. You know, it's like, hey, where did the people go? No. And before he settled on, it says that Jesus is going to come back, you know, riding on the clouds on a white horse. Come on, there's going to be a thunder, and there's going to be flashes of light and a trumpet sound. And it says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. But it says, who gathered around the throne? It says there were people that were robed in white. When we talk about robes in the scriptures, and we talk about white, it's talking about righteousness. It's talking about being cleansed and having no fault before him. The Bible says that without holiness, no man shall see God. You cannot stand before God without holiness. So how can it be that there's this huge multitude of people gather around the throne if all of us have sinned? It's because they haven't been righteous. They haven't been righteous. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 says this, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He who was clean, who has clean hands and a pure heart, says verse 4. Right? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Is it in there? Yes. who has now lifted up his soul to an idol, not sworn deceitfully. But let's focus on that part. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Is there anyone in the history of the world other than Jesus that had clean hands and a pure heart? No. So when it's saying, who will ascend, it's talking about somebody whose hands have been made clean, whose heart has been made pure. So in other ways, it says, he who has been cleansed and he who has been purified, those that are able to ascend the hill of the Lord. For there is none righteous, says the scripture, no, not one. We all need cleansing and purifying. Do we all agree with that statement? Hallelujah. If you think about it, this is God's selfie. Check this out. He's at the throne. He's like, what's this? Look at this, John. Boop.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You guys see it? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. At least one person sees it. She's a visionary. Come on. So God is the ultimate visionary, and he has made us all visionaries. He wants us to be visionaries, to have a strong vision that propels our life. We shared last week from that the verse in Proverbs that says that those that do not take divine guidance run wild, right? Those that don't have a vision, they cast off restraint. Excuse me. Hallelujah. So what a difference having a heavenly vision can make in your life. We saw what it does to someone who has a vision. So God has delegated his vision to us. He has delegated it. He has chosen not to do it himself. He said, I'm going to use people. He could do it himself, but he decided, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to involve people, my family. Acts chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. And how many believe we're in the last days? Tell the person next to you, this is for now. Says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. All in the Greek here means all flesh. In case you're wondering, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That means everyone here. Hallelujah. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And every vision, every dream that God is going to place in our hearts is directly or indirectly tied to the redemption of his children. God wants a family. Hallelujah. Shiloh's very own story began with a vision, didn't it? If you've heard this before, and this vision played multiple times in God's spiritual screen before Pastor Joseph. When he was in the spirit, he has told his story many times. He had never been to Fort Huachuca or Sierra Vista. He was in another continent. And God said, I'm going to take you to a place. And he showed him a picture of the mountains, of the Huachucas. And he showed him the community. And God's going to say, you're going to reach a whole city right there. Come on. And he put a map before him, and he said, right here in southeastern Arizona. Did you guys know in the old paper maps, if you remember, those of you that may be old enough, Sierra Vista wasn't even on the map. Not until like MapQuest and Google Maps. I'm telling you, young people, before there was digital stuff, there was like people who used maps, like paper maps. And you look southeastern Arizona, there was Tucson. And maybe Nogales, and then that was it, you know. Bisbee was even in there sometimes, and Sierra Vista wasn't. Fort Huachuca maybe made it in there just because of the military base, but Sierra Vista definitely did not. Hallelujah. So you and I are the fulfillment of a vision from God, dedicated to the man of God. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? Prophecy is weaved through history. Pretty much, this if you could do a timeline of history, you'd have like a prophecy given here that gets fulfilled here. A prophecy that's, you know, given here that gets fulfilled here. A prophecy given here that gets fulfilled here. It's God does not do anything without first revealing to his prophets. This is scripture. All of history is just prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment, prophecy fulfillment. Come on. Because God wants to involve his people. And he's looking for people that are willing to spend some time with him. And he said, I'll tell you what I want to do if you will listen. Come on. That's why we have been called to be a house of prayer. If you were here for the first time, you're like, why do they spend so much time in prayer? It's because that's what we're supposed to be, a house of prayer. And so even though you're supposed to do this when you're at home and you're in your car, when you're wherever, well, by the way, when you're in your car, don't close your eyes, just pray, you know. Not that I've done that. Okay, I have done that. I was listening to a worship song, and the worship leader, he said, close your eyes and lift up your hands, you know. So you got to be careful when you're driving. Luckily, there was some passengers next to me. What are you doing? I was getting wrapped up in that worship song. Hallelujah. Am I the only one? Anybody? Close your eyes. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Steve. I feel better. All right. Do you guys know the United States have exported more than just Nikes and McDonald's to Mexico, my country of origin? Did you know the United States is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, exporter of missionaries? As I was growing up, the pastor under which I was saved, and I was baptized in water there and filled with the Holy Spirit there, was impacted by American missionaries as well. I've told this story a few months ago about how it was an American missionary that told this pastor, say, hey, there's this family moving to this town where you're at. You need to go and visit them. And he began to visit us. And eventually, my mom gave her life to the Lord. And 5 years later, my dad gave his life to the Lord. And, you know, yes, that's exciting. But there was three particular ones. One is Dale West. I remember his name, Dale West, a Texan accent. You know, and he, you know, the thick, you know, English accent, you know, but he spoke Spanish, and he shared the scriptures with us. I remember just sitting with him in his house and in his, you know, just wherever he was always sharing the scriptures to us, proclaiming the gospel. And there was Percy Quonrud of Washington State, who, by the way, came out of the same church as, you know, as the Lexans. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. And this man was the one that told the pastor, hey, you need to go visit those people. Come on. And then there was another man named Wayne Myers. Anybody heard of Wayne Myers? Hallelujah. Wayne Myers was touched by God, was reached by God on the USS Enterprise in the South Pacific in the middle of battles against the Japanese. One night, in a starry night, he was out on the deck, and he had an encounter with God. I'm getting choked up. But God called him at that moment. He went to Bible school, and God said, you are to go to Mexico. And he spent the rest of his life ministering in Mexico. You know, that ministry that he helped found was called Amistad Cristiana, which is one, not the one that we were birthed at, but one that would often go to their conferences. And that church, in the satellite churches they had, you know, included one that was placed in Cananea, Sonora, you know, just a little bit south from here. And when we came to Shiloh and we decided to have a Spanish ministry, it was that Amistad Cristiana and their pastor who began to come over here and help us so we could get started with Centro Cristiano Shiloh, not Lifehouse, you know, church. Yeah. Wow. It's because God dropped a vision into men and women, and they said, yes, Lord, we will go wherever you want to send us. Hallelujah. God is passing on his dream of redeeming his family to us. This delegation is known as the Great Commission. Ever heard that before? And did you know the Great Commission is found in all four Gospels and also in the book of Acts? Jesus commissioned his disciples in different ways. I just want to read two of them to you. One is in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We need to be sent, but we also need the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, this is the one that is most generally known as the Great Commission. Jesus said before he ascended on that mount, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. One of the books that I've read and that we were discussing this week is called The Master Plan of Evangelism. This is a book that's been used in many curriculums since the 60s in Bible schools and institutes to teach evangelism. And what Robert E. Coleman, the author of this book, proposed is that, hey, we need to look at the way that Jesus discipled. Because there's a lot of good ideas, you know, but we need to have Jesus' idea on how to reach people, right? And so he began to extract the principles looking at the Gospels and at the life of Jesus. How did Jesus do this? And so what he began to notice is that Jesus, number one, okay, there was a lot of prayer involved. He was careful in choosing. He picked a small group of people. He didn't go for the masses. If you look at his, you know, 3.5 years on earth, as time went on, the more time he pushed away the multitudes and the more he spent with his disciples. It's like, I got to get you guys ready. Before I send you out, before I move on, I got to get you ready. So, to make a story short, you know, in his book, he also mentions Billy Graham, you know, who's a prince in America, you know, took the gospel not just to America, but the ends of the earth. Millions and millions of people were saved. He was an evangelist, right? But he taught the word so well. And such a humble man. I was just discussing that with Ray Balsamo. He gave me a book by Billy Graham. But and this is not to discredit him, because I'm not putting him down by saying this. But Billy Graham began to use this book in his curriculum, because he also has a training center over there in North Carolina. He trains many people under his ministry. Obviously, he's passed on, but his son and other people carry on the legacy. But they asked them, if you could do things all over again, what would you do different? And Billy Graham said, well, and after seeing that 3-6% of the people that have been reached in this crusades are in church a year later, obviously something's missing. Not that they didn't have an encounter or with Jesus. They know they'd have a salvation moment with Jesus, but something happened where all of a sudden they fell away. Or they're just not, you know, being trained, being discipled to be more like Jesus. So it says, what I would do is I would go to a city and I would start with 10 to 12 people. And I would, you know, take my time and build them up and train them up. And eventually I would say, okay, now it's your turn. Go out and get 8 to 10 people and train them up, you know, and get them ready. Amen. That is really the way that Jesus worked. He worked in small groups. That was the way of the master. Amen? So we have seen here that God sends people out, commissions them with a God-given vision, a heavenly vision. And as they obey, they go out. And so in turn, to win people to the Lord. So I want everyone, if you could, if you have your bulletin with you, or if you have it near you, and if you want to throw up that slide there, I want to show you, this is really what the vision looks like. I know it's kind of hard to see maybe from where you're at, but if you have your bulletin, it's all the way in the back. There's a graphic that shows you the simplicity of the gospel. So far I've talked about the last one, you know, being sent, right? But I'm also talking about the first one, being one. So today I'm talking about a winning vision. I'm going to focus especially on that first step right there. People need to be one. Obviously they're one to the Lord in church. They're one to the Lord in small groups, in the marketplace, in the army, at school, wherever the Lord leads you. It could be something that was prepared for you to share the gospel, or sometimes it's impromptu situations where God says, share the word, right? And I just want to say, ultimately, the winning part, that's God's business. Our job is to share what God has done in our lives. Amen? That's all God's calling you to do, is to share what God's done in your life. if indeed you've had an encounter with him. So it's win, connect, train, and send. So that you can't train people unless you first plant them firmly in the house. And that's where a lot of people throughout the world have gone awry, is that they have not been connected. They have not been planted. And so this is a step that's very key to the vision that God has given us in days to come. And a big part of that is we want to make sure that everybody gets planted into a small group. And second, that everybody attends a foundation course, which involves a retreat, an encounter retreat. I'm going to talk more about that, especially next week when I really focus on Connect. So let me go back to this. As you're looking it over, this is really the unveiling of his vision for Shiloh. Now, this progression applies to any believer all over the world. However, how you execute it, that's the strategies that God gives that particular house on how to do it. Amen? And they're really simplistic. Like I said, they're simple, but some parts are not easy because it does require for you to be stretched, as we said today. Amen? So this vision is ultimately the same for every believer. So I'm going to focus now on just the win part, and if you want to show the next image. I'm focusing on step number one because I cannot do it without talking about the last step. Someone was sent so that you could be one. Wasn't someone sent so you could be one? Aren't you glad that someone was sent? Someone obeyed so you could be one? But I'm also highlighting the fact that all of us need to have a one-on-one with Jesus. All of us need to have an encounter. And I'm not talking necessarily about the retreat. I'm talking about true encounter with the living God. So for the rest of this message, I want to talk about a specific encounter in Scripture of a woman who had no vision for her life. But after having an encounter with Jesus, immediately received a winning vision. What made the difference? It was the encounter with Jesus, meeting up with Jesus. Spiritual rebirth. Amen. So I'm going to go to John chapter 4, verses 19 through 30, and then I'm going to jump to verses 39 through 42. This is a whole chapter all devoted pretty much to the story that we know as the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well. And if you recall, I'm just going to summarize this real quick. I'm going to preempt this before I get started reading it. This is the story of a Samaritan woman who met Jesus by a well in Samaria that she was about to get water from. And there was two things not going for her. First, that she was a Samaritan and he was a Jew. And second, that she had a very dishonorable life. If you remember that. The woman had no vision in her life. Remember what we read last week, Proverbs 29:18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild, right? Well, she had run wild. She had run wild. She had had five husbands, but the guy she was now living with was not her husband. So Jesus just broke the ice, said, "Hey, would you give me something to drink?" To which she said, "You're asking me, a Samaritan and a woman at that, for water, even though you're a Jew?" To which he countered, "If you drink from the water that I would give you, you will never thirst from again." Hallelujah. And then he operated in what we know as the gift of the word of knowledge, right? He said, "Hey, why don't you go get your husband?" I don't have a husband. And Jesus knew that. He says, "You say correctly that you do not have a husband, because you've had five of them, but the guy that you're living with right now, he's not your husband." So he kind of got in her face, brought it home, right? But not in a judgmental way, because she didn't feel judged, if you look at the scriptures. Rather, she was spiritually intrigued. She said, "There's something deep going on right here. There's something deep going on right here." And that's how an encounter with Jesus happens. It takes us deeper. It's a spiritual thing. Also notice that the first glimpse of the spiritual, she tried to turn spiritual and religious, right? She tried to hold her ground. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." She said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming." Hallelujah. It's coming to your house today, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ." Christ means the anointed one. "When He comes, He will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Come on. That's an encounter with Jesus. It's when the living God says to you, "I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the one that came to save you. I'm the one that came to make sense of your mess, of your life." Hallelujah. Of your pain, of your past. All the uncertainty that you see. I am He. I am He. Come on. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" You need to know who Jesus is to you. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, the true Jesus, then you have not had an encounter with Him. Come on. And at this point, His disciples came and they marveled that He talked with a woman. You know, one said, "What do you seek?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and checked this out, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to Him. It's amazing how quickly someone with no vision, after having an encounter with Jesus, now has a winning vision. Hallelujah. And she didn't have to give Him doctrine and theology. All she had to say, "All I know is that there's a man here that knows everything about me." Like the blind man said, "All I know is that I used to be blind, but now I can see." Hallelujah. Something changed. She had been wandering around, going from sin to sin. She obviously had some religious understanding, and all of us have some religious understanding. We can turn up a spiritual conversation pretty good. We can make it look pretty good, right? Hallelujah. But she had a self-pleasing and a self-destructive life. She could not see the needs of others because her spiritual needs had not been met. Let me say that again. She could not see the needs of others because her own spiritual needs had not been met. But she had an encounter with Jesus and with herself. You need to have an encounter with Jesus and with yourself. Come on. This woman who had no vision now had a winning vision. She took a sip of Jesus' spiritual water, and a deep thing inside of her was so satisfied. This is the void. This is what I needed. And her spiritual understanding was open. And all of a sudden, she had a deep desire to share with others. She had not been baptized yet. She had had no foundation or training. All she had was an encounter with a living God, which changed the course of her history forever. And we're still talking about her. Come on. We're still talking about her. Hallelujah. Jesus valued women, in case you're wondering. Hallelujah. The first people at the open sepulcher were women. Go tell the disciples. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And many of the Samaritans, this is verse 39, of the city believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified. They believed in Him because of the word of the woman who testified. All she said, "He told me all that I ever did. He read my mail. He read my mail. He knows where I live." Come on. There's a time when the Spirit of God, you don't know what it is, but all of a sudden your spirit stirred up and you're feeling this draw from God and saying, "God, what are you doing to me? You know, I don't want to cry. Don't ask me how I'm doing." I heard of a testimony last week, you know. This guy that was visiting, he said his wife was visibly touched during the message last week when Johnny was here. And he kept saying, "What's wrong?" "Nothing." "What's wrong?" You know, he kept asking her. And finally says, nothing. You know, I don't want to talk about it now, you know. Because she was about to bawl, you know, if she began to talk about it. And sometimes when you feel that, is the Holy Spirit tugging at you because Jesus is penetrating deep inside of you and telling you who you are and who He is. Come on. Hallelujah. And bringing you hope. Bringing you hope. Hallelujah. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Come on. He consolidated them. He connected them. Hallelujah. And many more believed because of his own word. And then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said. Now we had a personal encounter ourselves, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. Come on. He is. He is. So how did this woman, who was known for her sinful ways, and I imagine she was very attractive, if six different men wanted to be with her, but now she was the channel to bring salvation to an entire town. An entire town. A whole city? An entire town. What made a difference? An encounter with God. Hallelujah. When God sent Moses to Egypt, he said, what shall I tell the Pharaoh when he asked me, where are you going? It said, tell him that they're going to go on a 3-day journey out in the desert to worship me. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, as part of the connect phase, it is important that all of us get away sometime with God and have an encounter retreat. And so part of this strategy God has given us is to get away. We're not going to do 3-day retreats. We're going to do 2-day retreat. And we're going to have one for leaders this March. And then we're going to have the first one for the body at large in May. And so 7 weeks prior to that, we're going to get you ready with what we call the foundation course. So it's going to be a foundation course, 7 weeks. And then May, I want to say is the 22nd and 17th and 18th. Thank you. Is when your retreat will be. So there's going to be a sign up, and there is a cost. We're going to be going to St. David, to the monastery. You know, but I want to tell you, we're going to get away. And anytime you set up a date with God, and you say, God, I'm giving up my weekend just to be with you, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for God to show up and come on, and you will never be the same. I've gone on many encounter retreats, and I want to tell you, you know, always powerful. I'm always changed for the better. And I usually go to teach. But I went to some to receive, you know, and I can tell you, it is powerful. And I think that that is one of the reasons why people don't stick in the churches, because there's so much bondage, so many lies, so many things that you're carrying around with you. So your enemies are at your door, you know, trying to discourage you. And you need just a weekend to get away where God's going to break every chain off of you. He's going to break every lie. You're going to feel forgiven and clean for the first time. Hallelujah, like you've never been. You're going to understand what the cross is, because we devote a lot of time talking about the cross. Come on, and what it means to you. And then we talk about the Holy Spirit, how He can be your best friend. And I'm telling you, once you come out of that experience, something's different. You know, I'm not saying you're in heaven yet, but I'm saying something's different. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you have a winning vision. And you want to go tell people around. Hallelujah. But really all it takes is for an encounter with Jesus. Come on. Encounter with Jesus. Amen. So you're like, I've been a believer for a long time, you know, but I'm just a little discouraged. I'm in a rut. You know, I need something. You need to go to the foundation course. You need to go to the encounter retreat. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. Let me move on. I'm almost done here. So my question is for you. Have you had a genuine encounter with Jesus? Have you had a genuine encounter with Jesus? I'm going to talk about religion. Like I said, the woman just turned it up, said, oh, you know, hey, we can worship on this mountain, and Jews and Samaritans, and, you know, and prayer and all this good stuff, you know. But I'm talking about, have you had an encounter with the living God? Anybody that has, say amen, I won't look. Okay, amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Has Has anybody ever just told someone, this is what Jesus did for me? Why did you do that? Because you can't keep a good thing to yourself. Come on. This is the answer that everyone needs. And let me just say something. When you look at the scope of what we're seeing in the news, what we're seeing in the media, and how people are so afraid. There's all this rhetoric being thrown around. All I see is Trump this, and Ocasio-Cortez this, and the Green New Deal, and, you know, it's all going to pieces. And the country is just like split down the middle. And all these people are afraid, what's going to happen to my children? And you know, some politicians, they kind of use that to move you as well. Your children are going to inherit this unless you do something about it now. You got to, you know, and they begin to drive fear. And anything that we do motivated by fear is not good. So for the believers, as the word says, it ought not be so. It ought not be so. When you have a vision from God in your life, even the darkest crisis, God is going to make you someone who wins souls. Come on. The Bible says that he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. Hallelujah. We need to have an encounter in our heart with Jesus. And we need to carry it with us everywhere we go. And understanding that all the stuff that happens over there, you know, it means nothing to God. It means nothing to God. If you guys will give me 1 second, I will read to you a scripture, you know, of what God shared with me this week in my readings. I'm going to have to find it because I think it's applicable. I think God wants me to encourage you with this scripture. You know, it's not easy to find a highlight for me because I highlight everything. So it's not. Come on, you can praise the Lord while I do this. Encourage somebody there while I'm doing this. Man, I have to go that far back? I remember it's in Psalm. No? Well, I cannot find it. Just so you know, your pastor hasn't memorized the whole scripture yet. But it basically says that God looks at the plans of man, and he just kind of laughs at them. You know, and so there's all this man making the claims about where the world is going, this and that, and God just says, that's all, you know, lies, fake news. You need to get the news from me, you know, and I will eventually find that. I'm going to post it on Facebook, you know, and Twitter and Instagram and wherever you need to go to find that stuff. But because it was so good, it just encouraged me so that God is in control. I know you guys are worried about your children, but I want to tell you, if you're in God, there's a Goshen, you know, that's the place in Egypt where the Hebrews were and they were protected from the plagues. There's a place like that in every crisis where God's going to protect your family. Hallelujah. But you need to have Jesus in your heart shoring you up. That it says if anyone builds his house upon the rock, the storms will come and the rains will come, but the house will not be budged. You know, you're going to stay right where you're at, even while everyone else is crumbling. And then they're going to look to you. What makes you so special? It's because I had an encounter with Jesus. I had an encounter with Jesus. So I ask you once again, have you had a genuine encounter with Jesus or have you had an encounter with religion? See, I don't want to tell you to go out and win the lost. The better question is, have you had an encounter with Jesus? Because you've had a genuine encounter with Jesus, it just happens naturally. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, I wish I didn't have to speak, but it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And you'll find yourself telling people, you know. And you know what? Yeah, there's times where you're not encouraged. Even a strong Christian, even Pastor Joseph has maybe a days where he's not as encouraged. But it will still speak the word of the Lord in those days. But there are days when you're so full of God, it's just seeping out of you. You know, there's just grace and mercy and love and joy just coming out of you. And you know, you just want to tell people, man, Jesus is so good. You know, when the doctor said, yeah, the baby's doing well. Yeah, we've been praying and God has been answering our prayers. You know, you just throw that in there for them to know that it wasn't them. It's God that's moving on behalf of your baby. Come on. Hallelujah. Because it's true. all your prayers, you know, God has said, yes, I hear them. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to do something great. We feel so encouraged about the future. You know, I cannot say the same for the lost. So then we must do our part. We need to have a winning vision. People, Shiloh has so many good things going for us. We've been blessed, you know, over 4 decades. We've been here over 40 years. So much to give. But you're like, I don't know where to start. You need to jump into the vision for the house. I want to make sure that you're connected and that you're trained and eventually you're sent. You know, this is not going to be a cookie cutter thing. We've said this is going to be a Holy Spirit led thing. You know, and God is going to give everyone according, you know, to His plan for their life. Not everyone's going to be a small group leader. Not everyone's going to be a preacher. You know, not everyone's going to be a missionary. You know, but everyone is going to have a winning vision of one way or the other. Come on. Come on. I'm telling you, God has given us a winning vision in our battalion. You know, we meet every Wednesday. We're trying to reach out to more people. Why? Because we believe that the gospel is the best thing that we can pass on to people. And thank God we've been going strong for almost a year, you know, and I have some of them here, you know. Hallelujah. We need to continue to have a winning vision. Amen. So let me bring it home. Have you had an encounter with Jesus? If you've not had an encounter with Jesus, this is your day. You might say, I am like that Samaritan woman, just going through life, doing my thing, but it seems like everywhere I turn, I just get in trouble. I cause pain. There's no stability in my life. I don't have a driving vision for my life. But I've heard what you're saying, and I believe that it is Jesus that I need to set me on solid ground. So this morning, I want to have an encounter with the real God.